Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible, it'll tell you what to do. Be not weary, in doing well, for in due season you're gonna reap. Yeah, say be not weary.
Good morning. My name is Gray Bunn, and I am 11 years old. You're listening to Free on the Inside, my papa, Diggy Joe Lewis.
Good morning. Welcome once again to our weekly internet program, a show to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you can be. Thank you, Little Gregory Bunton, and I'm glad to be here this morning, and we're in for another great time. Just sit back and relax, and I tell you what, get you a cup of coffee, and just relax for a moment, because we're going to bring on two great guests, and they're going to surely be a blessing to you, and they're going to challenge you, and they're going to inform you of some things that's going on. But I would just like to take a moment out to say thank you to Beverly Beasley and her staff over at Granny's Place. They're sponsoring this show each and every week. Thank you, Beverly. Y'all keep it up. Keep it up. Also say hello to the pastor over at First Free Will Baptist Church, where we hold our biweekly computer training class. We're in the midst of an upgrade of our computer training class now, since it's the summer break. Now we intend to bring in some new things that we're gonna expose our young men to. But that program is going well. We have 6 to 8 young men that we're teaching computer skills, a skill that lasts a lifetime, skills that they can further better themselves to be equipped for things that that they face in this world, skills that allow them to go a little further to maybe have them a career that they can take care of their family and friends and even the country. Because, you know, we look further than just our own self, because we want to make an impact on other people's lives. And that's what we try to share with our young men as they go through our computer training class. And I'm very pleased that the young men are taking up the challenge, and they are getting ready to launch their own Blog Talk Radio program that's coming up shortly. We've been working on that. We fine-tuned it, and we're just about there. So look out for another great show coming on this year, network here on Blog Talk. And it's going to be geared up toward our young people. It's going to be hosted by our young people, amen. And then also, I'd just like to make mention that last Monday, there was another show that was launched off of this Blog Talk network called My Sister, My Friend, hosted by Beverly Beasley and LaShondra Lewis. And they came on last Monday. I think the time is like from 8 to 9, I believe. But they had a great show. I listened to part of it. I didn't call in because it's a woman's show, but I listened to it because we are in the process of helping them set that up also. So I'm very proud and pleased that that got off the ground well, and looking forward to many, many episodes of that show there. And I would just like our listening audience to just log on and follow the program. We know that our show is geared up towards men and women. And so we'd just like you to take a peek at that program for My Sister, My Friend that's coming on every Monday at 8 to 9 Central Time. Let me put it that way, because we realize this is the internet program and it goes around the world. We're located here in Dallas, Texas, and we're proud to be on here each and every week. We're proud of our guest that comes on. But as we get ready to go on with the show here, our guest is going to be calling in a few minutes. But we'd just like to just say hello to the men out at the Hutchinson Jail Unit. Brothers, keep it up. Keep it up. We do a Bible study down there every Thursday. So, brothers, y'all stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. I'd like to say hello to the young men that we encounter over at the Dallas Life. We do a mentoring program over there, and we meet with guys once a week over there and just encourage them. And guess what? They encouraged me, too. You know, for iron sharpens iron, it goes both ways. Sometimes I'll be down in the dumps, and the brothers can say some things to help me out. Or sometimes I need some information, and the brothers say, man, I know somebody that could do this, and I know somebody that could do that. And so that's an encouragement there. And that's what I told them. I said, as we developing a mentoring program, if you're involved in mentoring, you're not to control a person. You're not to be the boss of them. You know, you're just to walk beside them and be a friend to them and be an encourager to them. Of course, it's going to be some adjustments along the way. I'm going to put it that way. But we're to do it in love. Amen. So I thank God for it. And I also say a shout-out to our ministry team that we met with Friday over at the Celeste Haven Church there. The ministry team is Trinity Jail and Prison Ministry. We had a great meeting over there. Reverend Taylor came over and he shared with the people regarding the teaching arm of the ministry. We're going to bring him on this morning, and he's going to share some more things regarding that portion of ministry. But the ministry's coming along well. We got men and women that are eager to participate and looking forward to being involved long-term in the jail ministry, and so we're excited about that. And my hat goes off to Reverend Walker. He's one of the founding members of the Trinity Jail and Prison Ministry, and so he's very committed to that ministry, and he's been doing it a number of years. And I feel honored to be sitting up under him, you know. And so that's been a blessing. Well, I tell you, now we're finna call up our guests right now. But again, I just like to share this call-in number with you. It's 310-982-4126. That's the number where you can call in to speak to our guests and speak to the host, which is myself. And also we have a co-host, Brother Richard Daniels. He'll be calling in shortly. Again, that number is 310-982-4126. And these shows that we bring to you each and every week, we archive these shows so you can go back and listen to them at your convenience. That's 24/7. Okay, and then some of you are Blog Talk Network, blogtalkradio.com/Granny's Place, and you go to that site there. That's our archive section, and you can see a list of all the shows for the past year. And that way, you can pick the show that you was interested in, or even something that just might spark your curiosity and say, "Hey, I want to hear this show here, and I like these guests, and I like the format of it." So you can go back and listen to the show. And you can also listen to the show on a desktop computer or on an iPhone. I want you to know that because the show is always available for you to listen to. And we ask you to support this show because, guess what, this is a ministry, and this is what we're all about, is ministry. So we want you to be involved in ministry, and we want you to make a difference. As you log on to this show, you'll see a template that says, "Change a life." You know, I thank God for that little logo, that little saying, because someone changed my life. When I couldn't do right, when I wouldn't do right, someone told me, "Hey, brother, you know, God expects great things out of you. God knows your beginning, and he knows your end." You know, someone spoke to me, and it changed my life. I don't know where that person is right now, but I wish I could see them and just say thank you. And maybe it was everybody I encountered. You know, God have a sense of giving us what we need when we need it. And maybe along my life journey, God kept sending me words and encouragement, and I just can't put a thing on one person, a name to one person. Maybe it was everybody. You know, come to think about it, maybe it's everybody that you encounter. God has ministered through them to you. But, hey, with no further delay, we're going to dial up our guest right here. So just hold on, hold on, hold on. There you go. We're calling up our guest right now. He's going to come on in just a second.
Hello.
Good morning, Reverend Taylor.
Good morning.
Good morning. Great. God bless you. Thank you. You're on the net. And thank you for being a part of our weekly internet broadcast here, Free on the Inside. Will you please introduce yourself and tell us about the ministry that God has put to your hands?
Well, again, my name is Reverend Johnny Taylor. One of the elders at New Creation Bible Church, located in Dallas. I participate in the Trinity Outreach Program. I have been doing this perhaps about 3 years now, and it's a great ministry. We go down to the Tennessee Colony at the Michael Unit, and there we host two Bible study classes, and I have been honored to teach one of those classes. I teach a great group of men, and I'm just honored by it.
Amen, amen. I'm honored to have you to be a part of that because you're a great teacher, and we want to talk about the teaching arm of that particular ministry there, and there's a great need for it. There's a great need. And Reb, could you hold on just a second? We have someone on the line. We're going to bring them in just a second here.
Okay.
Good morning, you're on the net.
Hello.
Yes, good morning, you're on the net. Yes, how you doing, sir?
Doing all right today?
Yeah, I'm doing great. We have our guest on the line here. So it's Reverend Taylor from the Trinity Jail and Prison Ministry. He's talking about the teaching aspect of the ministry. And so if you care to hold on and let him just share with us, and then we'll bring you in.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Okay, as we said,
Reverend
Taylor. Yes,
sir. Go right ahead, Darren. And then we're going to bring our guest in, and which is our co-host, and we may ask you a question or two regarding the jail ministry. Now, share with us about the teaching arm of the ministry.
Okay. The teaching arm at the Michael Unit is rather different from others. It began as a desire of the brothers there, and we call them brothers. We don't call them inmates or incarcerated. You know, we call them the brothers. We refer to them as, you know, the brothers at the Tennessee College, you know, because we're all brothers in Christ. So it began because one of the former chaplains wanted someone to come in who was not just going to come in and have another church service and preach another message and then turn around and leave. He wanted someone that would come in and be dedicated to actually growing the individual that was there. And so those individuals who have kind of led the way with the Trinity Outreach, they were led by God to start this program, and we teach a structured Bible study program. You must attend. If they don't attend on a regular basis, well then they can't continue to use it as a means to get out of their cell, get out of work. But if they're going to be a part of it, because we want them to grow, they have to dedicate themselves to coming and dedicate themselves to the activities, the Bible studies and the reading. We also, for a period of time, usually what we would do is we'll have our Bible study classes, and at the end of the year, usually at the end of summer, we would have a graduation, and as a result of that, we'll also have a fellowship meal where we would be allowed to bring in a home-cooked meal. And that's kind of the brothers' thank you. It's a thank you to them for participating, for being a part, but it's also their own reward for them demonstrating diligence to the process. And they also receive certificates for the courses that they've completed. It's a very good program.
Yes, it is. I've been a part of the program. Now, how long is the program?
The program, again, we run from September to I think it's to May, and usually we'll take a break right at Christmas time. We'll take a break for a couple of weeks for the holidays, and then we'll start right back up. And then around May or June, we usually would break for the summer, and then we pick back up in September. And at that time, if there's any new individuals who want to come in and be a part of it, well, they generally come in either in September or in May. I mean, either in September or in December.
Could you share with our listening audience the importance it is to have a teaching session like that? Because a lot of times people say, well, you go to jail, you learn about Christ, but it doesn't change your life. Could you just share with us what your experience have been in sharing with our young men as incarcerated?
Wait. Here, let me give you a personal experience. I was there teaching a class, and we have a mixed audience from all different nationalities that are there. And the MICA unit, by the way, is a maximum security facility. So I'm there. I'm teaching a class, and I believe we were in Ephesians or somewhere, and you know, sitting on the front row, we have a guy who kind of resembles what some people call a skinhead. And I'm laboring, you know, teaching the subject, and all of a sudden this guy speaks out, and he just says that, you know, I get angry. And, you know, in my mind I'm thinking, okay, do we have a problem? You know, I'm looking around, okay, where's God at? Make sure everything is okay, just in case I have to make a quick escape. So, but it turned out that we were talking about how when we participate in sin, how that affects Christ, and in a sense, it's as though we put Christ on the cross. And so it just happened that he was identifying with the point that was made, and that's what caused him to speak out. And his comment was that he says, I get angry because when he sins, and he says he's trying not to, and so when he fails sometimes, that's when he gets angry.
Oh,
and so
God bless him.
It let me know then that we were actually having guys who could identify with what we were actually talking about, and that they were actually concerned about trying to do the right thing. That's just one example.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And I'm glad you're willing to share that with us, because as we go down to the jail and prison, and we share the gospel of the men, and it makes a difference. But then after they get out, it's difficult for them to maintain that. That's one of the key assets to the gospel, is to be able to hold on to it. And a lot of times people see the results that it doesn't might not take right then, and they say, oh, they're just that jailhouse religion, and it'll wear off. But you've been in the trenches, and you've been on the front line. You see the results of it, and you know it works.
It does. It really does.
I tell you what, we have a call on the line here. I'm going to bring them on in. Just hold on just a second.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on the net.
All right, Dick Lewis.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Mr. Dan. Would you like to say hello to our guest this morning, Rem Taylor from the Trinity Jail and Prison Ministry? He's in teaching arm of the ministry.
How you doing, Rem Taylor?
Doing good. How are you?
One question I'd like to answer. What support do you get from the some of the administrators, people in the criminal stuff on your activities? Do they support it? Do they have some kind of aftercare system once you're released from this?
Yes, we do. Now, actually, there's two methods of support. One internally and one externally. And what I mean by that is, internally, sometimes it's difficult because the environment that, you know, we are dealing with, as I said, a maximum security facility. And so sometimes with all the things that come along with the culture there at the prison, sometimes it can be difficult to sustain oneself, sustain one mentally, to not get into violence, and all those types of things. So by being a part of the Bible study that we participate in, it arms the individual. It gives them a community of individuals to, you know, to be able to be a part of without necessarily joining one or the other, possibly negative groups. Externally, it gives the individual at the time when he finds himself being released, It gives them someone on the outside who is a means of contact. We have resources where we can put individuals in touch with halfway house. There's churches where they can continue the same teaching and discipleship that they received while being a part of Trinity Outreach while they were incarcerated. When they get out, they can be a part of the same process, the same level of spiritual growth, and there's not a break trying to find someone new to go, because when you were inside, they were receiving so much, and then when they probably get out, don't know where to go. So
that's what I'm finding, that most people, you know, I have been associated with, and some people I know, in fact, family members, you know, once they're released from, you know, incarceration, mostly they will find themselves falling back in the cycle, you know, get back around the same friends that they used to be around. And, you know, mostly people that they know or communities that they have lived in before. And,
right.
you know, you start saying, bit of, you know, like you tell me for a long time ago, most habits are learned. You know, and once
yeah.
you learn a habit, it's real hard to break. And then once you say spiritual habit, once you learn this habit, you have to have a support for it. And the support that you can't find through when you, you know, incarcerated, you don't get it, you go up to find something else to replace it with.
Correct.
And, you know, I have found a lot of, you know, men that, you know, they get back out and they, you know, get around their friends and friends, oh, man, why you want a man, you know, and they go to get caught up in the trap again. They find themselves relapsing. That's a relapse. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we have encountered along the way is the fact that sometimes individuals, after having made a mistake and they find themselves incarcerated, sometimes when they're finally released, sometimes they don't feel comfortable with coming to the church because they feel as though they may be frowned upon in some way. And so one of the resources that we have available to us is there's one of our sister partner churches that is primarily made up of ex-offenders, including the pastor. And what this does is this provides a community of like-minded individuals where no one is frowned upon because, for the most part, everyone there falls in the same category. So it enables the individuals to be able to open up and to be able to see someone else in the same position that self either is in or was in, somebody who's just been released and trying to reestablish themselves in society. So this is just one of the avenues that really benefits a lot of individuals.
Yeah.
Yes, it
yeah.
does.
Yeah, I'm not saying most churches eradicate most people, but mostly, you know, they feel ashamed,
mm-hmm.
you know. Ashamed of what I've done and ashamed of being accepted, you know, and that's really, it scares them away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, it
they don't
does.
Have anything. You know, everything you learn, and then when you get out there, you know, most churches they seem to don't want to accept, you know, people like this. You know, and you know, Deacon Lewis, he had the ministry that he goes inside the jails and all of that. You know, the witness to the youngsters, and it's a good thing. You know, he's doing it's a wonderful thing.
Okay, it is.
Amen. Brother Daniels, we're getting ready to end this interview. I'm going to put you on hold and let our guest have the last words. But hold on, because we got another great guest coming up, okay? And we want,
okay.
want to, right. You to sit in on that. Hold on now. Rev Taylor.
Yes.
As we get ready to wind down this interview, we want to thank Brother Daniels for those questions that were presented to you. But as we know the importance it is to have a teaching of the gospel embedded in the ministry, in your portion of the ministry, because you meet men that may not ever, ever get out. But yet they still seeking the face of God. And that makes a difference in their life.
Yes,
it makes
it
a
really
difference.
Is.
And these are people that, you know what, that we would never meet. The only time you ever see these men is when you go down there. They can't come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you, but what allows you to keep going knowing that these guys are, they never going to go no further in life status than where they are now. But yet you keep going with that passion and that desire to give them all they can get in Christ Jesus. What makes you do things like that? What drives you?
You know, what drives me is not just what I see on the inside at the prison, but it's also what takes place on the outside. You know, there's a saying is that they say most of the good black men are either, you know, married or incarcerated. And so when you look at what crime is doing to the African American family, you have to be affected by it. And that's the thing that affects me. When I look around and I see so many young single mothers who are struggling, when I look around and I see so many young black men that are, you know, struggling, either struggling to find a job, struggling with drugs or whatever case may be, that bothers me. And so God has enabled me to have the ability to be able to have some impact in what's taking place with the African American family, not just by being a father and raising my son, but also by taking what he's given me, that is the ability to teach the word and to share it with individuals who definitely need it. And even though these individuals sometimes they're locked up for a long period of time, or some may never get out. But you know what happens? They write to their families. They tell their families about what's happening. They tell them about their newfound relationship to Christ and how and what they're doing and living out the Christian life. And their families become motivated and they become supportive of them. We had one guy who spoke to his mom and told her that he received some collard greens while they're at the prison. And she's like, how did that happen? And he began to tell her about our ministry, and she was oh so supportive, and she wanted to write a letter and thank us for what we're doing, because her son was so excited about not just the food, but about the teaching that he was receiving. And so my motivation is having this effect on the family.
Yes, it is. It is. It does make a difference there. You know, and I'm so glad you shared that with us. Rev, this has been a great interview, and we would love to have you to come back to be a guest at a later date. And, you know, and I'm so proud to be up under your teaching ministry at the Trinity Jail and Prison Ministry, and I know it makes a difference, and you know it makes a difference also.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Hey, man, well, we're going to end this interview here, but we would, like we stated earlier, love to have you to come back and give us a follow-up on that portion of the ministry. What we'll do is probably in another 6 months or so after you start back again, you just like you to come on and just share with us what's going on in that portion of the ministry. And you can go back and listen to this show on the Internet or our iPhone. It's blogtalkradio.com/Granny's Place.
Okay.
But I will send you the link to that show there, and we're going to continue to do what God allows to do in the ministry.
Yes, we will. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you. You have a great day.
Thank you. Do the same.
Amen. Amen. Oh, what a great interview we had. What a great interview with Reverend Taylor there from the Trinity Jail and Prison Ministry, our teaching arm of the ministry. He was saying how effective that portion of the ministry was and is to the men that they encounter, how it makes a difference not only to the men incarcerated, but also to their individual families. Amen and amen. And Brother Daniels.
Daniels.
Great. And so we just concluded our first interview there with Johnny Taylor there. He's our teacher over at the Trinity Jail and Prison Ministry, and he was saying how important it was to have that portion of the ministry embedded in the jails, in the prison, because it makes a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. We know a couple of, Brother Doty. I think he was probably in that ministry too. You should ask him, probably socialized with him.
I know Eddie Doty had been important, man. I don't know exactly where he was located at, but I know that it made a difference because Eddie Doty's life done changed.
Yeah,
and we know people personally, whether it's family members or friends, that type of ministry had made a difference in their life. And Brother Rick, and I share with God, I'd rather for them to have a Bible in their hand than have a gun, a dope pipe, or a knife, And I keep visualizing this little old commercial. I wish I had somebody to make this commercial. Yeah, I can imagine, man. Check this out. Listen to me. I can imagine this elderly lady walking down the street, man. It's getting close to dark, and she got a bag of groceries, and a guy walks up behind her. He's following her, and she's walking fast. She's scared, and she drops something, and she don't know it, but she walking, and the guy, he picks it up, and he starts following her, and then all of a sudden he catches up with her. And she's turning around frightened, and he hands her a Bible and says, "Hey, you dropped this." that's because of his life to change. So he's mugging her. He tried to bless her with something she dropped. And, he said, man, then they develop a friendship. That's my thinking there. But that would be a great commercial interlude to what we're doing here. Hey, Brother Dave, we're going to call in our next guest here. He's an ex-gang member. But now he's a child of God, and he's going to come on. He's going to share some things with us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
You know how long we've been living in Dallas? We have seen a lot of this that comes in Dallas. And, you know, frankly, I have firsthand experience with a lot of this, you know, because, you know, in my little community we used to live in, I've seen it come up and just get just taken over by, you know, youth and gangs, you know, Crips and the Bloods, you know. I never thought I would live to see anything like that, you know, but two different neighborhoods getting mad at each other, want to fight each other, or even in the schools and stuff, instead of, you know, splitting up and football teams splitting up over it, you know, it's just a frightening thing to know that, you know, you want to divide yourself, you know, like that. And at the same time, we are still getting oppressed by other people. You know, you're going to, you know,
yeah,
fight against each other, but we're instead of being oppressed by other forces, you know. It just don't seem to make sense, you know.
You're so right. I tell you what, just hold on, and we're going to bring our guest in, and we're going to share some things with us, and we're going to bring you in the conversation, okay? All right, then, as we get ready to dial in our guest here, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about this program. Again, this number is 310-982-4126. Please give us a call and just talk to our guest. Just call and listen in. You can listen to on the iPhone or on your desktop computer. Amen. Amen. As our guest getting ready to call in here, we seem to drop the call there, so we're going to give him a call again. So just hold on. Amen. We're going to bring him in here. And I was like, what you think about our last guest here? The Reverend Taylor over at the jail ministry. And there we go. There we call it in now.
Hello?
Reverend Taylor. Hey, good morning, Kevin. This is Brother Lewis here on the net.
How are you doing today, Brother Lewis?
I'm doing great, thank you for being a guest on our weekly internet program, brother. Hey, man, and let's give you a proper introduction here. We got Brother Kevin that's coming in to be a guest this morning. And we're so honored and pleased to have you to be aboard. Brother Kevin, tell us about your ministry and what's going on. And give us a story of how God has made a difference in your life.
Well, I'm head of the media ministry. We record DVDs and audio CDs and sells them for the church, the Celestial Haven. The Lord has changed me, took me away from the streets. I was doing everything that you possibly can in the streets. And he took me away from that and brought me closer to him.
Amen, amen. Now, you told me that you spent some time in jail once before. Would you care to share a portion of that there with our listening audience? Because, you know, your testimony can make a difference in the life of our young men. How did you get to that point, and what allowed you to get out of that lifestyle?
I had a CCW and a robbery case, carrying a concealed weapon. I did 5.5 years. During my time in jail, I made a plan, and every day that I was incarcerated, I made sure to work on that plan and made sure that that was my focus. That was my main focus when I came home. And when I came home, I got away from all the old crew, the old friends that wasn't doing nothing, that was still in the streets, and I steady worked myself and worked my way till I was working with people who was doing stuff for the Lord. And I was going to church, and I got my way in there, and I'm very pleased and thankful how the Lord has brought me this far.
Amen, amen. You said that when you came home. Now, where's your home at? Because, you know, we're right here in Dallas, Texas. Now, where are you originally from? Yeah.
Toledo, Ohio.
Okay. And as you were growing up, what type of lifestyle was you presented in Toledo, Ohio, that allowed you to go down that dark road of sin and then to where you are now?
My father was a big pimp in Toledo, Ohio. He sold big drugs. My mother was in a motorcycle club, so I was raised around nothing but drugs, guns, and violence all my life. It's all I knew. And to get away from that, you know, it's hard because that's something that you're born into. I broke away from that, and the Lord grabbed me by the hand and brought me with him.
Amen, amen. That's, yeah, go right ahead. I'm sorry.
I done gangbang. And to anybody that's out there who's gangbanging, what are you getting out of it? You know, you can always add a limelight with the Lord. You know, the devil had his grips around me like no other. And to break away from that, huh?
Yeah. I tell you what, give us some insight on that, just a gangbang, just a, you know, because a lot of our audience, they say, man, I hear about it, I only see what I see on TV. Give us an insight on that there, because we realize that that's not a part of your life, but our listening audience need to know that and then be aware of those kind of things there. How did that separate you from your family and friends living that type of lifestyle?
Well, how it separated me was, my family never showed the love. Even to this day, they don't show that type of love that I was trying to find in the gang. And I had friends who was gang banging I grew up with. So being around them, that was love to me. And trying to impress people to make higher levels in the gang, you know, that was more to impress me because I was already in the violence. You know, so shooting, fighting, that was just like you going to work 24/7. The gang was my life. And to change from that lifestyle to where I am now, where I'm becoming humble, you know, more into the Bible, I can't understand why a person would want to be in the gang. You're not getting paid to be in the gang. Only thing you're doing is messing up your life just for a name.
Exactly, just for a name. That, and then, you know, and the lifestyle is dangerous and treacherous. You know, you can't trust people, and your life is always in danger. And I'm glad, Kevin, that God watched over you through that portion of your life and how you were able to share with our young men the danger. And also women, because that's women's gang. Did you ever know any women that was a part of a gang also?
Yes, I do. I know a lot of women that was part of a gang.
And you know, and it's devastating on women's too to be a part of, because they suffer the same thing as the young men that the men suffer. You know, separation, sin, shame, crazy lifestyle.
Yeah, like just last year and the year before, I wasn't even gang banging. I was trying to work, trying to change my life, and my life almost got stole from me twice. I'm working, and two guys pulled guns out on me just because somebody messed up their car because they was mad at somebody else.
Yeah, and that's the society we live in now, because everyone, they not looking at what's the result of this here. They say, hey, I'm going to take care of this matter now, and whatever happens, happening. You don't realize that not only it affects their life, but it affects their families and family lives, you know. And so,
right.
And that's glory be to God. So how much, we're going to shift gears now. Having Christ in your life and participating in the gospel to the best of your ability, how much of a difference it made in your life and your family life?
100%. It's a 360-degree turn. You know, I was the type of guy who was cheating on my fiance, you know, and coming to Christ, he changed all that. You know, he changed my attitude towards people. He then warmed my heart. You know, I'm loving everything that he's put here in front of me to do for him.
Amen, amen. That makes a difference, though. That makes a difference. Now, as you have an opportunity to share with our young men, what would you encourage them to kind of strengthen their walk and their relationship up with Christ and get out of that crazy lifestyle?
Find people that's out there. It's people all around, even including me. You know, it's who you have in your circle. If you sit there and have people in your circle that's not, ain't doing nothing for themselves, ain't going to church or nothing like that, then that's what you're going to do. You know, the friends that you carry around you is basically what helps make you. So if you get people around you that's got something going for themselves, they in the church, they reading that Bible, praying and all and everything they have to do to be closer to the Lord, then that's going to help you be closer to the Lord. Don't be ashamed to sit there with your friends and talk about the Bible. Because any man or woman that's not willing to do that, then they shame.
Amen, amen. I'm so glad you said that, Kevin, because as I go down to the jails and the juvenile center, I see young men are still trying to put on that persona of being a man. You know, I'm a man. I ain't going to let nothing, deter me. You know, I can take our list. And we don't have to take our list. You know, we have someone that can take it for us, which is our Heavenly Father. He give us the strength to go through those things. And I see guys' lives are crumbling before their very eyes because they don't want to yield, they will, you know. And that's the devil's thing.
And I understand that. See, people got the wrong persona of a man. A man is a man is a person that pays bills, shows respect, has morals about himself, can hold his pride. A man is not a person that sit there and get a little power and run wild with it. That's not a man. A man take care of his responsibilities and priorities. That's what makes a man.
I like that, Kevin. I like that there because a lot of people don't realize that, brother, and that speaks volumes, you know, because as we look at society, and there's a little slogan that came out some years ago, and it said, be like Mike, or smoke this, or drink this, you know, everybody trying to eliminate, you know, trying to be like somebody else, you know, instead of being the man that God created them to be, being a true man. Taking on the responsibilities of a man. Yes, we may have made some mistakes when we were young, but we don't have to keep living that mistake until we're old.
Right. I remember a time, and I know you do too. You know, when I was young, I ain't number 33 years old, but I remember a time when you used to fight. You would fight this, your neighbor, and the next day, y'all right back kicking it. Now it's you fight, you get killed. You know, learn how to deal with your anger. Learn how, if you got to fight, don't fight to kill. Fight to love.
Yeah, exactly. And I know what you're saying on that. And then this crazy thing with this drive-bys. You know, that was a cowardly way of doing it. But now that's what the world say. Hey, you get mad at me, I'm going to just drive by your house and shoot up anybody that's in the yard. And that's crazy, man.
And any man has got to pull a...
be there.
Any man has got to pull a gun or got to do a drive-by. You would never be a man. How can you be looked on as a man?
Amen, amen. Hey, Brother Kevin, we got our co-host on the line here. We're going to bring him in here. Brother Daniel.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing today, sir?
Yeah, you said some interesting things I can really relate to, Brother Kevin. You say you come from Ohio?
Yes, sir.
So are you staying in the inner city, right?
Toledo, Ohio. It's 45 minutes away from Detroit.
Oh, yeah, that's a big problem down there. Well, one of the things I noticed that how most people really get in the game because most of the time, like you say, they say they're looking for love. You know, show me some love, you know. And most of the time, the attention they not really getting in their home, they go out and try to find with a gang. You know, you be down with me, man. You know, you fall in, you can hang with every man, you're thick and thin, man. You know, I'm with you. I'm down with you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's what really why most youth really attach themselves to these gangs because what they're really looking for, they want somebody to tell them I love you, man. Say, man, I care for you, man. You know, and they don't get it, you know.
And that's true, but
okay.
But if people sit there and watch, this is the best show to watch, honest to God. If you watch Cops, You will see people in here who's game banging. The first 48, they game banging, they shooting. What is the friend on there doing? He's telling on you.
Snitching on.
So if that's love that you want from the streets, then go on out there and get it. Because they ain't doing nothing but giving you football numbers.
Mm.
And what I mean by football numbers, you're getting 55 years. Just because of a person that you was looking for love.
Yeah. And a lot of people they really can't see it right now because, you know, until you get locked up and then and your whole world flash behind you. Maybe in front of your eyes, man. Why did I do what I did?
And that's true, because when I was locked up, there's not one person that I sat there and fought for, I was gang banging with, I called my homie or I told him I loved him. Not one person wrote me. Not one. They didn't send me no money, nothing.
And you know, Brother Kevin, and as you said, that's what sin does. You know, the devil gets you, run you ragged, and then he kicks you to the wayside. You know, and then you said, then you left out there all alone. Well, glory be to God. Brother Kevin,
but he don't tell you the end of the story.
Yeah, that's all right. This has been a great interview, there, my brother. And as you as we get ready to wind down, if you had a young man sitting right there that was living that crazy lifestyle, that's about to live that crazy lifestyle, what would you do to encourage him that he don't that there's more to life than what he want to do?
I would tell him my testimony, and then after I finish my testimony, I pull out my Bible and I ask that brother a couple questions. And we'll start reading that Bible.
Amen, because it makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yes, it
and
do.
I'm glad you said that, because as you log onto this website, I want you to go to our website, Blog Talk Direct. You'll see a template as we come on the show that says change your life, and it's a Bible there. You know, change your life. You know, then there's someone there praying. You know, prayer and the Word of God makes a difference in your life. And I'm glad you said that, my brother. Now, Brother Kevin, do you have a favorite verse that you like to rehearse in your mind that seemed to encourage you?
It was the first verse I learned in the Bible, and that was Matthew chapter 13, verse 23. He who receives the seed into the good ground I'm trying to remember it.
Well, I understand, yeah.
But it was Matthew chapter 13, verse 23. That was the first verse I ever learned in the Bible.
Amen. That's great. And we realize that these things, they come and go. But as long as it's in your heart, brother. And God,
it's definitely in my heart.
That's it. And as you meet young men along the way, and I know that you've been an encourager to each and every one of them, man. And I thank you for your commitment and your dedication for being a part of the show. Now, what's going on over at Celestial Havens, brother, so we can... be blessed by God.
This Sunday we got a father and son. It's father and son Sunday, so all the fathers come with your sons. You know, even if you're not a father, just come on down, and we'll make sure that some way you'll be pleased at what we're doing at Celestial Haven.
Amen. Well, Kevin, we're going to end this interview, man, but thank you very much, sir, for being a part of our Weekly Internet program. And I'm going to send you a link, if I hadn't already, about this show, and you can go back and listen to it and just share it with your family and friends, brother. And I'm intending to stay in touch with you, man, because I know God is going to do great things in your life.
Yes, sir. He got a lot of things planned for me, and I thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, no, you've been a blessing, brother. You've been a blessing. Because of what you're doing and what God is doing in your life, it allows us to continue this here program because God is no respecter person. Amen?
Okay. Amen.
All right, God bless you, and we'll be talking soon.
God bless you, too.
Amen. Brother Daniel.
Yeah, it was exciting.
Yes, sir. What a great interview we had there with Brother Kevin there, brother. And we got about 5-10 minutes to the show here, and as we get ready to wind down here, man, thank you, bro. We have some great guests this morning.
Yeah, man. So we hit it close to home, you know.
Yeah,
young man trying to straighten their lives out, man, through Jesus, you know. When that seems like there's no hope, he's always there for us.
Yes, he is. He's always there. And you know, we see little bits and pieces of gang activity here in the Dallas area. You know, they're not called gangs per se, but you can see the aftermath of it, man. When someone drives by your house and shooting up the house, or you see three or four guys go out robbing, that's a gang, man. That's not no one individual. Yeah. With three guys running a place and robbing, that's gang activity.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, well, I think that really these people around, and you know, they got the parts of a gang, but that officially, you know, they kind of sub part of it. Really, like the people in Los Angeles and stuff like that, then they are verified gang activity. I mean, you live or die by it, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, some of them, you know, you don't want to be. That's what I'm trying to say. A lot of these youngsters, man, they kind of want to be, man, you know. And they don't really, you know, really know what it really takes to art to be in or something like that, man, you know. And I see a lot of you young kids, man, claiming stuff, man. I said, well, where you learn this from? I learned it from my big brother, my brothers, or my homies, you know what I'm saying? And it's like they keep feeding it to them. So what I'm saying is you can feed something like that to a youth. Why couldn't you feed them in the name of Jesus to somebody? You know, if you can learn this activity like this, why you can't learn how to live a spiritual life? You know, teach me how to live and respect each other and love my neighbor, my brother, you know?
And you know, Brother Dan, you said something there, because that's where men of like passion have to step in. You know, we've made some mistakes, man. Me and you, we lived a crazy life at one time, but glory be to God that he brought us out of that. And not only us out of it, but he gave us the desire to help someone else. And that's what we need men to walk beside young men and say, brother, I've been there, done that, and you don't have to live like that, because God have great things in store for you. Brother Dan, right now, man, the way society is, and it ain't nothing like when we grew up, man. Kids have so many things available to them. You know, we didn't even have calculators. You know, they got iPhone. They got this. Anybody can make a
iPads,
video.
iPads, iBox. You know everything. You know anything electronic. You can learn stuff on, but they don't want really to utilize. You know, so this the real purpose of them, you know. And I was looking, in fact, you know, I won't veer away from the subject, man. You know, I like to, you know, the thing of imagery is a good thing, you know, imagery. And I'm a basketball fan, and I've been watching these playoffs, and I've been noticing the difference between how a person like LeBron James, they trying to say he's an image, and then they had showed this long guy, Kevin Durant, they showed how his family was supporters around him, and his mother was acting a certain way, and you know LeBron's mother used to act kind of wild on the court. You know what I'm saying? And so really, our image is that you show a person is all wholesome and brotherly and lovingly, and that's what people want. They don't want nothing. You know, somebody that's just a wild person and act. You know, for your company, it's a minute. You know, that's why you see most cats, how they don't get jobs, because how is somebody going to hire you when you coming in, man, you grilled all out, man, you got the tubes, the tats all on you, man, and your pants is hanging down, you know what I'm saying? You going to represent me? You know? And they can't see this.
Yeah. No, they can't see it, man. Because that means where they grew up at, that's accepted. You know, they society, they homeboys, then when they get outside of that environment, that they looks like a freak or they looks out of the ordinary, you know. You go to get a job and people got on a shirt and tie, you come in there talking like you just walking into your house or your neighbor house. With bad language and things. And sometimes we can't help it. Some of us just can't talk. I'm like that also. I mess up sometimes, but glory be to God that he straightened it out. You know, I always say that God is our editor on this program. I go back and I listen to the program. I said, man, I believe I said that, man. But, but God said, hey, do you love me? If you really love me, keep doing what you're doing. And Ricky, that's why I want to thank you, for, man. I want to thank you, brother. I went to your graduation a few months ago, and you graduated from North Texas. It took you a while, but you did it.
I did it, man. You know, I got another challenge, man. I got to find out what else can I do now. I know God sent me for a purpose, man. He got a purpose. for what he, you know, you applied me for, and you know, and I'm really fine with the show. You know, maybe this, I know your show is my vehicle for use my talent.
Well, great. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, get aboard, buckle up, brother. We finna take a spiritual ride. You know, God, this is hard business, man.
Right.
I don't supposed to be here, Ricky. Right. You know my story better than anybody that know me, man. You just saw me down and out, level to the ground.
Yeah,
I remember you came by and you encouraged me, man. And yeah, look at us now. You know, God is doing great things in both our lives, and because we didn't give up on each other. No, and I want to share this with our audience, Rick. We're getting ready to get out. Sometimes they see people that God help look like that he's not in their life and they down and out. We should never, ever give up on anybody, man, because this is God's business.
Yeah.
You know, I know it gets frustrated sometimes, and sometimes we have to walk away, but never give up, you know, on
never
the next person. Don't say, this person hurt me, so I ain't going to help nobody else. Some people you can't help, but always be guilty of trying to help somebody.
I thank God
for somebody helping me.
I like what you said. You know, I remember one time, Brother Lewis, you know, I went to some place, man, and I saw you, man. I went somewhere, man, it really made me cry, man, because I never expected to see you like that, man. And I went off, man, in my secret place, man. I prayed, man, for you, man. You know, it made me... God, man, step in, man, and deliver you from all this stuff, man, you're going to, man. Then one day I looked up, and I saw you, man, and you had your little tie on, man. You told me, man, I'm in church, man, and I'm going to church, man. And I'm getting my job back, man, and God done sent my family back, man. And I said, good Lord, man, look what prayer do for you, you know what I'm saying? And look around, and then you say, man, I'm getting to be a deacon, man, you know? And all of it just seemed like it all started falling into place. You got your business together, man, you know. You start making money, man. You start coming up with cars. I said, good Lord. Look what God do for you, you know.
You're so right. And you know what?
I know you feel good.
Hey, God is no respecter person, though. Brother Daniel, as we get ready to wind down, man, we got a couple of minutes here. Man, but I want you to continue to call in this show. Continue to support the show, brother. It's a blessing to have you on here. And guess what? God is not through with any of us just yet, you know. And as we bring on guests, that makes a difference. Ricky, our guest makes a difference. We don't, you know, we thank God for allowing us to have men that makes a difference.
Yeah.
In their life
here.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Amen. It makes a difference. So as we go out and next week we got another great guest that's coming on here, and we're looking forward to having him to come on and share with our listening audience and everything. So thank God for it. And remember, man, support the show. The show is archived. You can go back and listen to it on your desktop or your iPhone. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen, brother. As we get ready to wind down, we want to thank you, our brother, and looking forward to having you on again. Amen. What a great
show. Amen. Amen.
What a great show. What a great show we had. And we'll be talking shortly, all right? God bless you, brother. Amen. That was Brother Daniel, our co-host of the show. And we had a great show this week. We pray that you were blessed by the show, man. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the guest that was on. We had a Reverend Taylor there from Trinity Jail and Prison Ministry came and shared with us about the teaching aspect of the ministry, how it makes a difference in the life of our young men. We had Brother Kevin come on. He's a former gang member, former gang banger, living a crazy lifestyle, but God changed his life there. Amen. He had spent some time in jail, and God brought his family back to him, put him in a new frame, a new state of mind, and encourage him to help somebody else. And that's what this program is all about, changing the life, making a difference. Brother Daniel just told you about my testimony. I never shared it, but you know that by the program and by the people we bring on the show that, hey, something must have happened to this man that now his life has changed. Make a difference. The same thing I did when I was out there in the world, living that crazy lifestyle. I'm doing it for Jesus. I think about Paul, the great apostle Paul, said, hey, I was sold out doing things against God, but now that I know God and been known of God, I'm going to work just as hard for God. Young people, Yes, you may have messed up. Yes, you may have done some things. But the same energy, the same enthusiasm you did messing up, you could do it for making up. I'm going to put it that way. For making up. Because I go out to the jail, I see how it can change. I ask you to continue to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for this day, this time, this hour. We, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.